This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Sunday's a big day at Citi Field. Number 16 will rise to the top of Citi Field and will never be worn by a Met again as Doc Gooden's number is retired. And that leads us to Diamond Notes, brought to you by London Jewelers. And it also leads us to talk to our friend, who I know watches the show, and now he's a guest, and that is Dwight Gooden. Doc, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. Congratulations. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thank you, guys. And I am a fan of the show, and I always watch you guys' show. And first of all, before we get started, I have to say thank you to you guys, because you guys have been campaigning for me for a couple of years now, and I think you guys played a big part. I just want to say thank you. I remember being on here last year before they announced I was going to retire my jersey. We had the same conversation about it, and I was saying that I didn't deserve a life sentence, and you guys were on my side, and I was come too. So I thank you guys. If I ever run for city council,
wow,
I want you guys to see me.
That's so nice of you, Doc. Thank you, man.
No, all right, so are you nervous? I mean, you've pitched in World Series. You've thrown no hitters. Are you nervous for Sunday?
I wouldn't say nervous. I'm excited because my kids, my grandkids get to take part in this. Obviously, I want my parents to be there, but they can't be there. But it's an opportunity for my grandkids, especially, who didn't get to see me play or know what I did for a living. They get to not really see me play, but experience what it was like to hear the cheers, to be on the same, well, not the same field I played on, but in the same atmosphere. I get a taste of what it was like when I played, when I was going through my prime. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to all the fans there that are filming me from day one, just to kind of thank them. I always wanted this opportunity to go back and see the fans since 1994, when the Mets wanted to cut ties. Now I get the opportunity to go back to the fans and let them know how much I appreciated them through all my ups and downs.
And the reason it was so easy to go to bat for you, Doc, and I grew up a Met fan, and I lived through 84. So my fondest memories are sitting with my dad watching you striking 14 Giants out. Like, and you still resonate so many years later, and you really saw it through the documentary. You saw it through all of the history of looking back at 86. Did you, even though you didn't feel the love from the Mets, did you still feel the love from the Met fan?
100%. The fans were great. And even with the Mets, when they want to cut ties, I get it. I understand the business part of it. But for me, I was more so upset and hurt because of what I did, the things that I caused to myself. And I wanted to make it right with the fans. But you're right, through the documentary and all that, and the fans, so many times where they could have turned their back on me, but they didn't. They always stuck by me. And especially when, you know, I had my struggles off the field, and to see them support me. And that's what it's all about, because you're still dealing with a life here. And now I get the opportunity to thank them and share the moment with my family and my friends and all the fans that have been with me since day one.
Is it special? Is it even more special, Doc, that later on in the season, and people, it's you can't say Doc without Daryl, and you can't say Daryl without Doc, that Daryl, who's mending now from heart surgery, is it mean more because he's getting his number retired too?
It does. I'm just as happy for him as much as I am, well, just about as much as I am for myself. Because we've both been through basically the same thing. We had almost that heel to heel off the pitch, almost similar careers, similar off-the-field struggles, and now both of us got our life together. And it's a celebration for both of us, and I think it's great that we're doing it on separate days, but I'm happy that it's the same year. So no, I think he deserves it just as much as I do.
You know, Doc, you just mentioned the things that you went through and taking accountability from the decisions that you made. So when you look back at your Met time, do you look back fondly at what you accomplished, or is there a part of you that looks back and says that there could have been more?
You know what? I think now I don't say it could have been more anymore. Besides, as a team, I think we left a championship on the table in '88. Not taking anything away from the Dodgers or the year that Hershiser had, but for my individual career, now that I'm getting my number retired, I'm happy with everything. I have closure now with my career. I don't think I left anything on the table. I just had struggles, and people talk about what could have been, what might have been if I didn't have those struggles. But my thing is, when I made it to the big leagues, when I made the roster in 84, my only goal I had was staying healthy and playing a long time. But during my 16 years career, I was able to win, you know, 3 World Series. I won just about every award a pitcher can win, and now I'm being honored with one of the highest honors you can get from a team. So I have nothing to be ashamed of or look back on and say what could have been. Even though sometimes, like, when the Hall of Fame thing comes around, you know, you think about that a little bit. I'll be lying to say I don't think about it. But at the same time, I don't beat myself up about it anymore. And I'm very happy and satisfied with the way my career has turned out.
I know, Doc, that you've gotten a lot of love from both fan bases in this town, both you and Daryl, and that's very special. But I know that Mets fans sort of certainly want to claim you, but you get the World Series with the Yankees. Does this moment sort of in some way solidify you truly when it's all said and done as a Met, in spite of the fact that the championships came with the Yankees?
Well, you got one with the Mets.
So.
Oh, wait, yeah, well, of course. But the last two came with the Yankees.
That's true. You know, I'm very happy. I'm definitely a Met at heart. I've always been a Met at heart. But I'm very appreciative of what the Yankees done for me and what Mr. Steinbrenner did for me and my family. I remember the times he spent with my dad before he passed away at the hospital. Those things go unnoticed. And still today, I still go to Yankee Stadium. I'm still very proud to say I got to experience the time that I did at the old Yankee Stadium where all the great players played and all the history was made. And there's great fans in the Bronx as well. And I appreciate those fans as well for always being loyal to me and supportive of me as well. So I'm just happy for the opportunity that I got to play for both teams and win a World Series for both teams. But when it's all said and done, I'll always be a Met.
Well, you know, Doc, you know that I'm a person who worries a lot. I get nervous. So if I ever was having – if somebody said, okay, Michael, you're having a day in July, I would not leave my house until July. I wouldn't want to get run over by a car. Have you been very careful so that you know that on Sunday you're there at Citi Field and that nothing's going to happen, that you're not getting run over by a car?
I don't know. But you know what, Michael, to be honest with you, I've had breakfast with the devil before. You know what I mean? I've been there. I know what pain looks like. I know what pain feels like. If I got through those days, I'm not afraid of the days ahead of me. As long as I take care of myself and put myself in a good position and do the things I'm supposed to do, I'll be fine. I'm not afraid of living my life anymore the right way. I'm in a good place now. I have good health. I have a good relationship with my kids and my grandkids. And I look forward to Sunday. I'm obviously careful with things, but I have to be careful with everything now, every day, because I'm not getting any younger. And because of, you know, when you have an addiction problem, even if you're not active in it, it can creep up on you at any time to trigger you. So I got to be aware of it, the good times and bad times. So I got to stay even keel either way. But I've been enjoying the ride. The momentum is built up to Sunday. Tonight I'm having dinner with some of my family, some friends. Some of the 86 guys going to be there at the Empire Steakhouse in the city. And tomorrow I'm having a dinner with my family, be up tomorrow. So it's just, I'm just enjoying the ride, man. And now that I'm not playing anymore, like and what I mean by this, what I'm getting ready to say is, when you're winning awards, winning World Series, you enjoy it, but you can't really soak it all in because it's next to the next thing. Next guy, get ready for spring training. Now with this coming up, I can enjoy it just as much as my kids, my family, my friends. Let it all soak in. And even after Sunday, I can continue to enjoy this and enjoy the things that I've been able to do. And just be happy with myself for things and where I'm going.
You know, Doc, 86 gets brought up all the time, but just take us back to 85. 24-4, 1.53 earned run average, 16 complete games, 268 strikeouts. What was it like to just be that dominant? What did it feel like to be that good for that year?
Oh, man, it was unbelievable. The thing is, I didn't realize that year was that special probably until after maybe the first 10 starts. Then you start realizing that the crowd's bigger, there's more media attention. You can see the tailgates in the parking lot. The hitters are more locked in. Everybody's locked in. It became more of a, not just a start, but like you say, a lot of people say it's an event or what have you. But and having Gary Carter as my catcher, he brought out the best in me. Gary wanted the 10 strikeouts. He wanted to shut out. He wanted a complete game. And he wouldn't settle for less. Because I remember some games, if I was up in nothing, Gary wanted me to pitch like it was 1-0. He still wanted me to dominate. And I accepted the challenge. I know the fans wanted that. Because every time I got two strikes on a batter, they were standing up clapping, wanting to see that. And I accepted the challenge. No disrespect to the other hitters, the other teams, but once we scored a couple of runs early, I wanted to be out on the mound every chance I got because it became bigger than just a game, and I enjoyed it. I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I probably should have because when you're going through it, you have expectations for yourself as well, and you know you got to get ready for the next start and the next start and keep working. But now, this kind of reminds me of what 85 was like with the momentum building up to Sunday. Just maybe not exact the amount, but just like last night, I was at an event and the crowd, where the crowd was, a lot of Met fans. and the momentum of everybody. Everybody's happy. You've seen all the signs, all the logos, doing a lot of, you know, a lot of good press coverage. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of 85, but I'm able to enjoy it more now than I did, say, when I was going through the season in 85.
We're talking with our good friend Dwight Gooden here on the Michael Kay Show. He gets his number retired at Citi Field on Sunday. Now, you threw so hard, and obviously the curveball was like nothing that anybody's ever seen. And what we see now in baseball, Doc, is that so many pitchers are getting hurt, and you ended up hurting your arm as you went along as well. Is the body built to throw that hard that often, Doc?
That's a great question. I think, just my opinion now, like when I got hurt, you know, I think the wear and tear kind of caught up with me because I threw a lot in high school as well. And I just got to the point where I hit a wall. But if I had to do it over, I'll do it the same way. I think now what we're seeing is more concerned with velocity, more concerned with spin rate. And I don't think they teach the mechanics as much as they did when I was coming up and doing my time in the 80s. And I think that's a problem. Even with the pitchers, they're doing like the half windup now. I don't think they're getting the full momentum as they possibly can out of the windup and using their legs more. I think now it's just more throwing as opposed to pitching. And it's nothing against the pitchers. I think it's just the way the systems are now and the way the game's taught. I don't know what the analytics or the technology has a lot to do with it. But the game's changed so much where, say, like a Greg Maddux or a Tom Glavine, they probably wouldn't even be looked at today because they didn't throw in the upper 90s. It's all about velocity and spin rate now. And I think guys are more concerned with that than working mechanics and working on developing, you know, different pitches, different arm angles. It's not as important. And I think that's why we're seeing more injuries now. But, again, that's just my opinion.
Who do you like watching pitch now?
The guy that I like probably the most watch is on the shelf now. Gerrit Cole is obviously my guy now that DeGrom is out of New York. I still love DeGrom, but DeGrom's a close second now. DeGrom was my guy, but he's out of New York now, so I got to stay the New York guys. So I'll say Gerrit Cole. Hope he gets healthy soon, and I can't wait to watch him throw.
Now, you bring up DeGrom, and this was a guy that knew, hey, I wasn't going to be going much past the sixth inning, so I'm just going to lay it all out of the line. If Doc Gooden had that philosophy, hey, I don't have to go deep into games. I can just go 5-6 innings. How would that look? Much more dominant do you think you'd be in the first 5 innings if you knew you didn't have to pitch beyond 5 or 6?
It's a totally different game, totally different build-up. You set up differently the way it goes. And I blame the system. I don't really blame the pitchers for that. I hope they get back to the old-school ways where guys go deeper in games and they get rid of the 100-pitch thing and facing lineup only, you know, twice around. I think it'll work to the pitcher's advantage now, especially with mechanics. Different game, totally different game now. And I like the way it was when I played, to be honest with you, where you go deep in games. But if I had to do that now, I think it'd be to my advantage, obviously. Obviously, it would definitely save my arm. And I tell you, it would have been real effective pitching today. Not that it wasn't effective when I pitched. It would be Cid Fernandez. Look at Cid Fernandez's stats, which I don't know off the top of my head. But Cid was a great 5-6 inning pitcher. But when you try to extend into the 7th, 8th inning, you know, it'd be maybe a walk, a blue single, then a home run. Something crazy would happen after that. But if he only had to go 5-6 innings, I think they would probably win 20 games every year.
All right, here's the big question, Doc. Do you have your speech written, and do you think you're going to cry?
Wow. Man, you're prepared for this question. I don't know if I'm going to cry. I'm just going to let the emotions go where they go. I've thought about writing a speech, but I said, you know what? I'm just going to go from the heart. I've thought about what I'm going to say, obviously, the people I want to thank and show my appreciation. I'm just going to go from my heart, whether it's a 3-minute or whether it's a 10-minute. I don't know. But my emotions, it's really hard to say because I feed off the crowd a lot of times. It's almost going to be like pitching again and going out there and having my grandkids see me for the first time on the field in the atmosphere. I would say probably, but I'm not sure. If I do, it is what it is.
Absolutely. Let it flow. Don't hold it back if that's what you're feeling now.
The more you cry, the more they're going to love you.
Yeah, I mean, they love you anyway. How is your relationship with Steve Cohen and Mrs. Cohen?
Oh, it's awesome. I love those guys, and I can't thank them enough for awarding me with the highest honor that you could possibly get. They've been great with me. I think they've been great with the fans, great with the alumni, bringing us back. You know, they brought the old-timers team back. And every time I've talked to Alex or Steve when I'm at the ballpark around, they've been nothing but first-class people, and I'm just happy to be a part of it and see that the team's now headed in the right direction. I think they have some good baseball people behind them. But I love these guys. I love what they're doing. I think now things are really starting to get turned around the right way for these guys. And I'm wishing nothing but the best for both of them. So I'm very, very thankful for what they're doing for me.
I'll tell you. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Is there one game, one moment that stands out among all the others as your time with the Mets?
Wow. If I had to pick one game, wow, there's so many good ones. Can I take two?
Sure.
Okay, the first one would be in 84 from a personal standpoint, when I broke Herb Scores' record. I struck out Marvell Wynn to break the rookie strikeout record. Because you only get to be a rookie once. And to break that record and making the team as non-roster player, from an individual standpoint, I love that one. That sticks out more. From a team standpoint that I was involved with, I would say when we clinched against the Chicago Cubs at home and having the fans brought on the field. I mean, it was fun and scary at the same time. I would say those two are my most memorable memories besides winning the World Series with the Mets.
Doc, I tell you what, I've known you forever, and I mean, I'm so thrilled because you sound so happy and you sound so into it, and I can't tell you enough how much all three of us are so happy for you for what's going to happen on Sunday. We wanted to come on and talk with you a little and just wish you sending you good vibes for Sunday. Have a wonderful time.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys, and I mean that from my heart. Thank you guys so much when you guys had me on and we talked about returning the number, because I do think that played a part. So I really thank you guys, and always thank you for having me on, and look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
And let the tears flow, Doc. Let them flow.
If enjoy it.
Cry and cry.
Yes, let's see what happens. I'm not going to hold back. If they come, they come.
There you go.
Soak it in, Doc. Enjoy it, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You got it. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. I didn't just say that with him. I got to tell you, Don and Peter, he had such clarity. You know, Doc's been, as he said, he's had breakfast with the devil. He's been battling demons for a long time. He sounds so clear and happy, and that makes me happy as well.
And one of the reasons that we were advocates for him, not just because, Michael, we're fans of him as the person, or me as a fan of the Mets, is that don't you look at his problems differently now than you did back in the 80s? Like, back in the 80s, you were a bad guy. You did drugs. What's the matter with you? You're a bad guy. You deserve what you get. And then you hear these stories, what Doc and Darryl went through, or anybody that went through addiction, Steve Howe with the Yankees, and then you realize that it's a disease. It was something that he struggled with. And so you look at it differently than you do now. And the fact that he was so disconnected with the Mets, because I think he was just labeled as a bad guy that threw his career away. And I guess the bottom line is he did, but how much of that is he responsible for? Some, clearly, and he's taken that responsibility. But I think we have better clarity now than we did 30, 40 years ago on exactly what he was going through and what addicts are going through, that they're not all bad guys. Not all the choices were the wrong choices. It just, there were things that happened, and for him to put it in the words that he did, you know, breakfast with the devil, that's what some of these people were going through. And yes, there are bad guys, right, Peter? But then there are people that are good people that unfortunately made some bad choices early on, and their life went in a direction they just didn't want it to go into. And now we look at those people a little bit differently than I think we did 30, 40 years ago.
I'm just glad that he seems like he's got it together, and let him enjoy himself on Sunday. Really cool.
There were times, Michael, when we spoke to him. Remember that the issues, and we talked about him a couple of times that we had him on, where like Strawberry reached out. There were times we spoke to him where he didn't seem like he was in a good place.
No, not at all. And there's times I saw him that he didn't look healthy, and I worried about him. But he sounds terrific today. So
yeah, and it's a constant. It's a daily battle. And maybe when it's all said and done, those will be the battles that he'll be best remembered for, as opposed to the ones on the baseball field.
Let's go to Kyle in Memphis. Kyle.
Hey, how you guys doing? First time caller.
Good.
Love the show.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you. So I wanted to talk about the Ohtani thing and the original article with from Tisha Thompson, right?
Yep.
She said that his representatives knew about the article and that it was going to come out, and they found out in the beginning of the year. But they still allowed Ipe to be his interpreter? Why wouldn't they find someone else to interpret to Ohtani if they thought this guy was stealing so much money from him? That just like seems like neglect on their part.
That's a great point. That's what's so frustrating about this. I don't know if you feel it. None of it makes perfect sense. It does, the pieces don't fit together in the puzzle. They're the ones who made him available to Tisha Thompson. They're the ones who told him to tell the story. Then he told the story that, you know, Ohtani paid the debt for him. And then they find out later and they go, well, maybe we shouldn't have said. I mean, the people around Ohtani have to be held accountable, Kyle. They are. If Ohtani is totally innocent and not complicit in this at all, he's got to fire everybody around him. Everybody. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, 100%. I just don't understand why not find someone else to interpret to him if you think this guy is actually stealing $4 million from him. You think he's going to tell the truth to Ohtani? I mean, there's plenty of people that they could have found to interpret to this guy and tell him the actual truth.
Well, that does speak to this, though, Kyle. And we mentioned this earlier. It's unbelievable how close these guys were.
Yeah.
And if Don's scenario is accurate, they were that close that Ohtani was still willing to, like, absorb the cost of this guy's gambling addiction. I'm not saying that that's the case. That's Don's scenario that he's painting, that it could be. They were connected at the hip. You never saw one without the other, except when Ohtani was in the batter's box or on the mound. And then when somebody came out to talk to Ohtani on the mound, there was Ipe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was a really different kind of relationship that you don't see that often. You just don't. Very odd. Very odd. Let's go to Griffin in Connecticut. Griffin.
Graham. Oh, the Griffster. You kidding me?
Hey, I'm here. Yeah, Michael, the Ohtani thing is just so strange. I can't figure to wrap my head around that. I can't figure out what makes sense. Nothing makes sense. It just, the pieces don't fit in the puzzle. So
yeah, none of it does.
That doesn't. Michael, I think you said this Friday with Stanton and how there were people that wanted him released. I understand he was frustrating. He wasn't good to watch. But when you have a guy like that, you don't release him, because if they did release him, somebody would scoop him up right away. So
right, because then he'd be a minimum wage player, and the Yankees would be paying all his money.
Yeah, it's just when you have to do what it does. And right now, look at him. The Yankees are winning games because of him. And the Grand Slam was a big part of what he did. I know that home run against the Marlins, they helped them come back. They almost had a chance to win. So I feel like, I don't think he's turning the corner, but I just feel like you can't give up on somebody like this. You got to give him chances, and if he wasn't good, well, then they had places to do. They have Trent Grissom, where they could put him in center and DH Judge or Soto, like you said. So I just don't. You just don't release people. I just don't get why fans think you release them.
Here's the problem. I don't want to insult a broad scope of people, but there was a guy who called in. You know, after he started out 3-for-24, I think he had 13 strikeouts in 24. But it was terrible. He looked awful. Yeah, they should release Stanton. And I said, well, they're not releasing Stanton. They owe him $98 million. And they'll let it play out and they'll let it breathe. Now, if after a couple of months he's still not hitting, then you're going to see him have less of a role. But people that want to release people after 24 at-bats, they don't know baseball. They don't know what the sport is. They're reactionary. It's like, let's do this, let's do that. You can't do that in baseball. You've got to let things breathe. So anybody who said they have to release Stanton because he was 3-for-24, I'm sorry. What you're watching, you don't quite understand.
I know, but in fairness to them, you're right, they're reactionary. And they're not basing it off of the first 24 at-bats. They were basing it off of the progression that they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but no, it doesn't make any baseball sense, because why would you pay him literally to go play for somebody else? You try to make it work, but I can understand the fans' frustration, Michael, when he's striking out all the time. He's a compromised player, and he's not worth, you know, in their eyes, the money that he's being paid, and he didn't live up to the expectations that they had on him, and hasn't for the last couple of years. But you still have to try to make it work when you're paying him that much money.
I mean, he really didn't live up to the expectations last year, and he gets hurt a lot. But, you know, he's been a very productive player in the postseason, one of the few Yankees that has been. And I'm not saying that he's turned the corner now, because, you know, the home runs that he's hit have been on fastballs like 93. 90, you know, last year he was a 100 hitter against things over 94 miles an hour. Let's see. Now, the Yankees aren't going to face that type of pitcher this weekend in Cleveland. Let's see when the Yankees see a steady diet of somebody throwing 97, 98, if he's able to hit that fastball. Then we'll see if he has really turned a corner. You know, Mother Nature gets everybody. Father Time gets everybody. Will it get him? It looks like it's affected him already, but he did come in with a different body type, so maybe that body allows him to get the fastballs now. We'll see. But to release somebody, or to say release somebody after 10 games, you don't know the sport.
Oh, boy. It hurts them when you say that. Deep down,
they didn't have to release Gallo. They got something for Gallo.
Right, right. They didn't have to release, I mean, in the history of time, you know, they didn't want Danny Tartable. And Gene Michael told Buck Showalter, I could trade him. You know, you can't. They made a bet. He said, I could trade anybody. And then he came in, he said, I traded Danny Tartable. And Showalter said, who'd you get? He said, Ruben Sierra. He said, Ruben Sierra? He goes, I didn't tell you who I was getting for him. I said, I could trade anybody. Right. And Ruben Sierra actually contributed to the Yankees.
He did.
All right, we've got Bob Wischusen coming up next. So Peter, Don, me, we could take the segment off.
Oh, just let him go.
Somebody's got to ask the first question.
I'll give the honor. And Don, if you have a follow-up hockey question, go. But I think that's good for 12 minutes.
So you think you just go, hey, Bob, how are you? And we just all mute the mics?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's see how
what you're saying.
Empire Outlets on Staten Island is the place to be this spring season for your ultimate shop and dine experience. Empire Outlets is located steps from the Staten Island Ferry. Easily accessible to all New York City and New Jersey residents, shop outlets like Nike Factory, Levi's Outlet, Banana Republic Factory, Guess Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Gap Factory, Nordstrom Rack, and more. Dine at restaurants including Shake Shack, Bake Culture, and Hazel's 423 Food Truck. 423 Food Truck, I want to say it right. Visit EmpireOutlets.nyc and follow on Instagram at Empire Outlets to learn more about what Empire Outlets is offering.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
My love. All right, the Rangers stumbling a little bit as they try to nail down the conference and the President's Trophy. But they will play the Islanders, who need every win they could get. And that game is going to be tomorrow on ABC. And calling the play-by-play is our good friend, Bob Wischusen, and that leads us into the hockey report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Yeah, we've got a hockey report now. Bob, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I miss you guys.
We miss you.
Aww. You too. That was nice.
That was really nice.
I guess we're going to miss you during the football season next year, too.
Oh, why'd you go there, Peter?
I mean, I'll hear him just the same, but he won't be our guy anymore. It's not the same.
He's still our guy. Right, Bob?
Yeah. It'll be Stairway to Heaven, and then Jeffrey
again. Yep, there you go. Now, do you need any help whatsoever with the numbers of both teams? I can help you out with that. Don can help you if you haven't memorized the players.
I appreciate that. Appreciate the offer.
Why did the Islanders take until the end of the season to play their best hockey? Last year they did it. This year they're doing it again.
I don't know.
All right, good stuff. Bob,
good stuff, Bob.
Moving right along.
Their special teams have been so bad all year that, you know, to me, like, the smaller sample size is what's happening right now with them. I'm not surprised that they're streaky. They've got some streaky players on their team. They've got plenty of talent. Don knows this, right? I mean, they've got guys that can score goals. But you can't win in bunches in the NHL if you can't, you know, do well, I think, on special teams. And that's, right. To me, that's what's made the Rangers so consistent all year, is their power play is so good. Their penalty kill is so good. Like, the Rangers are an average team 5-on-5. I think after last night's game, I think they're dead even in their scoring to opponent scoring 5-on-5, which from a Rangers standpoint would worry me a little bit. Mm-hmm. That they're too power play dependent going into the postseason. But I think that success on special teams has just made them very consistent, and the Islanders have been bad all year on special teams. Hard to win in bunches that way.
Especially being 32nd on the kill, Bob. That's gonna oust
Correct.
Them at some point, because when you get that kind of skill in the postseason, teams are going to be able to take advantage of that. But you kind of picked at a scab that a lot of Ranger fans are concerned about, and that is the 5-on-5 play. They, you know, third best power play, third best penalty kill, great come from behind team, but they get into a series where they're going to have to be reliant on even strength play. They're average, and you hope that maybe Philip Hedel might be able to contribute to that. In case you missed it, he's going to come back, and he looks like he might be ready for the postseason, which is certainly going to help them at the center position. But is that going to be enough if they get into a series against a Panther team or a Carolina team where they're responsible, they're not going to give you too much? Is this team going to be able to win a series if it's going to be a 5-on-5 type of game?
I don't know. What happened last year? Right?
Exactly.
They didn't go too far. And they were very similar last year. They were super power play dependent. Mm-hmm. You get to the postseason against better teams. They take less penalties. You're right. And look, Philip Hedel is a really nice player, but there has to be a rust factor. He was there last year. It's not like all of a sudden you're injecting some players that they didn't have last season. Look, they're supremely talented. This sport, like any sport, is about difference makers. They have them. Zibanejad, Panarin, Fox, Kreider in the net front. I mean, even Lafreniere has become a true difference maker. So they can beat anyone, but 5-on-5 is a concern. That is a viable concern, especially, as you said, against more disciplined teams in the playoffs.
Well, the only thing I would disagree with the addition of Hedel is you might be right, Hedel himself, but what Hedel allows you to do, if I could put a Wennberg at my fourth line center, if I can move Roslovic down, I think I can well round four legitimate lines that possibly can score 5-on-5 instead of maybe 2.5 without Hedel.
Yeah, and that probably helps you 5-on-5.
Right.
Deeper, no doubt. Look, he's a really talented player. What will he have after this kind of an absence? How effective will he be? I mean, I'll be as curious as anybody to see that.
So this is a 12:30 game, right? I might have said
yes.
3. 12:30.
12:30.
12:30.
It's the first game of a triple header on ABC.
I'm looking forward to it.
Like, apparently, Bob, shocked silence from Michael on the triple header.
I mean, triple headers excite me. You know how I feel about sports. I love triple headers.
That's a good promo. The company appreciates it.
Let me ask you something about the Jets, Bob. Do you believe they should take Bowers with the 10th pick, or should they take an offensive lineman?
If it were me, I would still lean offensive line.
Even though Bowers is considered to be so special?
I guess, question, you know, and look, this is the argument that they'll have, and it's an awesome argument around that conference table, and there'll be voices on both sides of it. A lot of it depends on which tackles are there, their consensus opinion of those tackles are. They could potentially trade down and still get a tackle. But are they all going to realistically be able to look each other and say, are the two starting tackles we have penciled in right now going to both play 13 or 14 games each, or less, I mean, there's almost no way that those two guys get through the whole season without missing some time. That would be amazing. If Mustafs and Smith made it all the way through the year and both played like DeBrickashaw, Ferguson, Nick Mangold, 17 games each, and they were just rocks on the offensive line, it'd be amazing. That'd be great. That would be the best possible outcome. It's hard to imagine happens, and easy to imagine that one of them misses a lot of time. Right? That's what you're really concerned about is one of them gets an injury that knocks him out for, you know, 6 or 7 weeks. So, I don't know. To me, having another tackle, it's almost like starting pitching. I mean, look at their offensive line over the last few years. They've never been able to have enough of those guys to try and protect Aaron Rodgers.
Bob, is Zach Wilson on this team in 2024? And if not, what's the exit strategy?
I can't see that. Myself, I'd be very surprised. And I think they would be doing him a favor just giving him a change of address. I mean, like, you bring Tyrod Taylor in, obviously, to be the backup. So if Zach's on the team, then you're carrying automatically a third quarterback who's making a decent amount of money still. I don't know. And really, I mean, is he going to play at all? No. Like, Tyrod Taylor would obviously be the quarterback that would play if Aaron Rodgers hopefully doesn't get hurt, but got hurt for a period of time. So, I think they try and trade him as much as they can, and maybe they release him if they can't trade him to someone for, you know, a late conditional pick. That I don't know any other scenario that makes sense.
Well, here's what I would go back with, though, Bob. We're talking with Bob Schusen here on the Michael K. Show. If you don't trade him and you don't get rid of that salary, I'm not releasing him and paying the salary. I'll keep him as the third quarterback. Well, why do I have to do him any favors? If you're going to pay him anyway, might as well be on the team.
Yeah, and I guess you could go that way. I just don't know that that's healthy for either party. Mm. But
I didn't know you were Gandhi.
That would give him the ability to do what we all thought was the best case scenario.
Exactly.
This past year.
Right.
And that is sit behind Aaron Rodgers and learn. But, you know, you wonder at this point, could he ever really confidently step out in front of that fan base again?
No.
And play?
That's the thing, Bob.
And that's really hard to see.
If he's on the team, you know how it works with quarterbacks of the Jets. There's a very good likelihood he's going to play again.
Well,
you can't do that to anybody.
Bob, are you allowed to admit to us, seeing that you're the voice of the team, that if we had one of those weeks again where Zach is starting and we go in circles and have the same conversation about maybe this is the week that Zach really shows us something, that you're going to throw up in your mouth a little bit? Can you say that?
I would say that there have been a lot of times where you're right. You sat there and you wondered, like that Chiefs game or the Eagles, like, is this the light switch turned on game for him? And he was never able to follow that up with performances that said the light switch turning on was anything more than just a one-off. And you've got to be able to play at this level one-offs. I mean, you know, you got to be able to string performances together. And unfortunately, he has not been able to do that. Has he always had the best hand dealt to him? Well, no Jet quarterback has. But, like, when you compare the hand that was dealt to Zach Wilson to the hand that was dealt to Sam Darnold, it's not even close. Like, Sam Darnold's best skill position player for his last 2 years with the Jets was Robbie Anderson. Robbie Anderson would get cut by the Jets now. And he was the best skill guy they had.
True.
So Sam really was out there all by himself. I mean, there was never one time where Sam was tossing a ball to a Breece Hall or throwing a slant to a Garrett Wilson. I mean, he never even had a Tyler Conklin. So, you know, to me, the fact that Zach has had two of the brightest young offensive stars in the NFL for basically his whole time here and has never been able to provide consistent performances, it just kind of spells the end of his time with the Jets to me. I would think he would be best served and they'd probably be best served if he just ended up in a different spot.
Take me through tomorrow before we let you go. I know you have the big estate in New Jersey, but you have a 12:30 game. Do you stay in the city tonight so that you can get to the Garden early, or are you going to make that drive from the big estate in Jersey?
I mean, I could take the train to this game. People do this every day. This is a commute. I don't take this for granted, too. I am not in an airport. I am not in a hotel right now. I'm in my house, and I'm doing a game for ESPN tomorrow. I mean, not long ago, I'd be spending my, winter and early spring Saturdays in Lubbock, Texas, and Ames, Iowa. So this is amazing.
So you'll be at the estate. You will not be doing the hotel today, so you're closer to the garden.
Yeah, like I've let the guys at the guard shack out on the perimeter know I'm going to be staying in tonight. So they're going to, I think they're going to allow this, the DoorDash driver to come through the gate to deliver my dinner. But outside of that, I'm going to keep it quiet tonight.
Beautiful.
Did you get tickets to fish at the Sphere?
No.
Oh, you sound down.
Working.
Yeah, no.
How
many dates did they do?
They're going to do four.
Just four. It's unfortunate.
And you're working every one of the four?
Well, I mean, it's the weekend in between the end of the NHL regular season and the beginning of the playoffs. So I have a game Thursday night in Minnesota, and then Friday morning fly home and basically find out either Friday or Saturday where I go. Because we don't even know yet. We haven't been told even what our assignments are or what series we're covering.
Well, if you want to go, I'm willing to fill in for you.
Wow.
What a guy.
And you could talk to Jim Dolan tomorrow if you see him and say, can you add a show when I'm not working?
Well, he's nice enough to schedule over Christmas time, usually when I can squeeze one in, like around New Year's.
Right.
But this is playoff time.
Yeah.
And you got to be locked in.
Even though we're going to see you, we're going to miss you, Bob.
I appreciate it.
Are we going to see fish?
No, I'm just saying that in all seriousness, we were connected, the Jets and this radio station, for 20 years. Now, I'll see Bob. I know Bob. I knew Bob before ESPN even existed as a radio station in New York.
And you'll probably know him when it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Right.
But I'm just saying that there is a connection that I was very proud of. 16 years I worked with this man, and for the connection to be severed, it's something. So I'm just saying I'm going to miss that. We're still good, but there's a connection that has been severed.
No doubt. I mean, at any point, I would love to come in and hang out with you guys. Michael and I, from what I understand, can get together and we can both drink with our children now, which is something that's fun to be able to do. So can't recommend that enough. There's a lot of still very solid connection points between me and you guys.
Well, not none with Peter, though.
What?
There's no connection with Peter.
What do you mean?
What's your connection?
Peter's more than welcome to drink with us and our children, as far as I'm concerned, whenever he wants.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Bob, have a great call tomorrow.
Thanks.
And enjoy the DoorDash.
See you guys.
That's the Hockey Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com today. Here's what I'm going to tell you what I think just happened, and I want to know if you guys agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bob heard that he was going to talk for 12 minutes, and he gave us nothing. I think he stiffed us because we were joking around.
Oh, come on.
And he did not give us his best with Susan.
You're disappointed?
That's a serious allegation.
We'll pick it up when we come back, but I think that's clearly what he was doing because he's quick on his feet, and he's giving one- or two-word answers. I think he was sticking it to us. That's what he was doing.
You know what, Michael?
Sign on that.
Michael, I think you need help.
Okay.
Speaking of help, this message is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing? Is it drained? Are you bursting with energy? I know for me, I need a little bit of juice right now. Had to go out last night, got to go out again tonight. Do I have it in me? I'm feeling pretty good, feeling rested. I know one thing, if you're trying to figure out how to get the emotional energy that you need, maybe you've been considering therapy. So many other benefits from therapy as well. Coping skills, boundary setting, empowerment, finding just the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and then get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Peter.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, let's break it down for the people. I believe that Bob really, really stuck it to us. That's what I thought. That was not his best. That was not his best guest spot. I think he did it on purpose. I think he did it on purpose. God.
First of all, do we even know that you're telling the truth?
Well,
that it was bad. It was good.
No, he's got a sense of humor
that's a little different.
Awkward silences. That's not him. He's a supreme broadcaster.
But I think in Peter, right, when he's trying to be funny, the pauses. I think that was a little off. But I think it was just part of his charm and trying to be funny.
Nah, I think he phoned it in.
Wow, I don't.
Literally,
Bob has never phoned anything, and I've known this guy literally for 30 years.
I think he heard what we said that we were going to say hello, and he was going to talk for 12 minutes, and he stiffed us.
Oh,
I'm okay with it. I mean, it's a nice payback.
I got to tell you.
And he doesn't work for us anymore, so what does he care?
I got to tell you, you're something else. All you do is say the guy never shuts up. You give him a hard time. You make him loud. You call him Bob Weasel Schusen. Mm-hmm. He never says boo. And then he comes on our show, does a fine hit.
It wasn't a fine hit. You're lying.
What was wrong with the hit?
It was a truncated, a hemming and hawing hit. That's not him.
That's what you're thinking, Don? Do you feel that way?
No.
You just want to kill the guy. It's unreal.
No, I love the guy. We have a good relationship. We actually text privately all the time.
He's a good friend.
The only thing I'll say is maybe his comedic timing was off a bit, because I do think some of the pauses were him setting up something funny that he was going to say.
Yeah, well, it didn't pay off.
Well, that happens, and not every comedian's going to be on every time.
Bill Burr's on all the time. Bob was shoes on all the time.
But here's the Bob was bringing a little bit of sense, but still he brought a lot of information. I thought it was a nice back and all right. Listen, you didn't like it. I enjoyed it.
Okay, that's all that counts.
I just don't know why all this has to be on the air.
Everything's on the air. You've taught me that.
I just don't know why Bob is always getting killed by Kay. No matter what, he talks too much. He's this. He's a stoner. He's a fish head. He's this. He's that.
Well, is any of that untrue?
Well, I don't know.
He's not a stoner.
You're just by secondary smoke. You're a stoner.
That's not how it works. But
do you think there's ever been a fish concert where marijuana is not prevalent?
No.
Okay, so you're going to get secondhand stoned.
But there's every concert I've ever been to at Madison Square Garden or the Meadowlands, anywhere, I've smelled pot.
You know what I'm going to say right now, Don? There's a hot take I'm coming with right now.
Okay.
Is there a more overrated concept than like secondhand stoned?
High is what you're saying.
The contact high, I think, is kind of made up.
Bernie Bubons yesterday?
I didn't smell it. I saw some boubange, but not much. It was, you know, more just incredibly attractive ladies, you know, sipping wine and things of that nature.
I think Peter was a little overwhelmed last night.
Yeah, bringing up how many beautiful people were there. I mean,
now listen, I was fine.
Look to your right in your house. You have a beautiful person.
Well, she was with me there too, admiring, and she actually went to the bathroom, and when she walked around, she said, "I don't even know if I'm going to let Peter go to the bathroom." I don't know if he can go. I don't know if she can send me out in the hallway. It was truly something, guys. I don't just say, Don, I'm not loose with these kind of assessments, am I? I don't say this every day.
I'm loose with those kind of assessments.
Well, yeah, we know.
Right, you're not.
I'm very
Yankees,
tight.
Yankees rained out today, so they'll play a day-night doubleheader tomorrow. And because of doubleheader, you get to call up an extra player. The Yankees are going to start Clark Schmidt in game one, and they're going to call up Cody Poteet. Who they signed as a free agent during the offseason. He will start game two. And that's your Yankee news.
Is that an opener? Or is that someone that can give him length?
Length like you wouldn't believe.
Excuse me?
Like big time length. He's a starter.
Okay, that's what I was asking. I'm not familiar with his work.
You're not familiar with Poteet?
No.
Have you ever read the book, Little Poteet?
That's Bo Peep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel goofy today. It's a goofy Friday.
I can tell at the expense of others.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, Bob didn't survive that segment.
Well, he didn't survive it. He's getting paid well. He's going to do the game tomorrow. He's going to be fine.
Well, both could be true. He's so inconsistent.
Who, me?
You.
He's, Yeah, you're a bad guy.
You've always said.
I'm consistently a bad guy. Peter said.
Guests,
that, you know what?
Like
it's a good point.
Guest in our home. And I don't think Bob deserved to be treated that way.
No. I waited till Bob left to talk
about
that.
Well, that's even worse.
That's the worst kind of host.
Didn't I say that Doc was a delight? He was a guest. And he brought it. But Bob didn't bring it today.
But then that would have been better radio.
Bring it up. You know what, Anthony, run up the poll. Was that Wishu's best work today?
Oh, my God. This was on our air.
I know. But it was so truncated and so hesitant
I
believe it made it good.
I am not on board with this assessment at all. This is a Michael K. vehicle. The
opinions hop on the
expressed
vehicle.
By Michael K. are not necessarily
we might need that. We might need that on
Don
every
LeGrec
show we
Peter
do.
Peter Rosenberg and all of 98.7 ESPN.
Well, I needed it more than anybody a couple of months ago. I got excoriated in a column for something I didn't say that you said.
And you strained that out.
You know what's really been very nerve-wracking, Don?
What's that?
I've been mentioned twice in Phil's column in the last 2 weeks. Both positive.
No, I don't like it.
So I'm
not
excoriated soon. Oh. I mean, there's going to be a full page Michael K. stinks column any day now, any Friday or Sunday. Could be this Sunday.
And here's the thing: you shouldn't care about the positive or the negative.
I care about what everybody feels about me, Don. I care about what you feel about me. Maybe not Peter. I care what Phil thinks. I care what all of our fans think.
You care more. Apparently, you don't care what Bob thinks because you just excoriated him on the air.
No. I what I did was I graded the performance. He got a D.
When did we start doing that, Peter?
Today's the day. Peter, tell us about FanDuel.
And why is it just Bob? That he's the only one who really gets through.
I gave Dwight Gooden an A.
He stinks.
Of course you did because you're a kiss-up. Guys.
Why am I not a kiss-up to Wishuzin then?
Because he can't do anything for you, I guess. I don't know. It's playoff time, guys. The NBA and the NHL, we're here. And baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets, guaranteed $150 win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Peter and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, 21 and over and physically present in New York. First online real money wager, only $10. First deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets. That expires 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.